with us is Amy Wilford. She is a Superior National Forest East Zone Fisheries and Water Resources Biologist, and she's here to talk about vernal pools. And what are vernal pools?
Well, thanks, Jay. It's a real pleasure to be here. Before I tell you what they are, I'd like you to know that they come under many different names. They're, besides vernal pool, we call them vernal ponds, depressional wetlands, ephemeral ponds, pools, and the National Wetland Inventory calls them seasonal ponds. But essentially, they're all the same thing.
Mud holes.
Yeah, that's a good good term for them, yeah. And what they are is they're slight depressions on the landscape that usually fill up with water when the snow melts and you have the early spring rains. Mm-hmm. And they're approximately, less than half an acre in size, you know, even smaller than that, and usually surrounded by deciduous trees, that is, trees that have leaves and lose them, and because that's a real important part of the pond, because that acts as a food base and creates the bottom of the pond, too, a food base for all the critters that visit the pond.
Uh-huh.
And they do not have an inlet or an outlet, which is important because usually they're fishless, which is important because a lot of the amphibian critters, like your frogs, can lay their eggs successfully in these ponds.
Oh, and there's no predators.
And then there's no predators. And for instance, like the wood frog, which I read up on one day, it does not produce a toxic compound. So if there were fish in the pond, fish would just gobble these eggs up, and their breeding rate would probably not be as successful.
It's also a place for invertebrates too.
Yes.
Bugs.
It's they're in my mind, they're very special places because there's a lot of action going on.
There is, yeah.
And especially if you don't have a trained eye, you probably wouldn't maybe not recognize them, especially if they dry up, you know, in like by mid-July, it would be hard to find them. And that's one issue that we have at the Forest Service is trying to locate them on the landscape, because once they dry up, if you're not looking for this slight depression in the landscape, you know, and you might not see the watermark around the pond, mm-hmm. or maybe the mud that might have been left over, that would be difficult to see sometimes. But as far as who visits these ponds, the most obvious, like I said earlier, is the frogs. And at this time of the year, I have seen I've heard the wood frog and the spring peeper, and then the western chorus frog are out. They, you know, visit them to lay their eggs. And then another little interesting creature is called the fairy shrimp. And they're probably about, an inch long, kind of orange in color. A distant relative to the shrimp that you and I might enjoy eating.
Okay.
But they are an important part of these ponds because this is the only place where you will find them. And
but how do they get there?
Well, they lay their eggs in the pond muck, so to speak, mm-hmm. at the bottom. And then when the pond dries up, the eggs dry up. And then when the spring rain comes the next spring or the snow melt, then they come to life again. So
if you see a slight depression in the woods, don't mess around with it because there's
fairy shrimp
in there.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. And they're an excellent food source for all the other little critters that enter the pond. Besides frogs and the shrimp, you might have the salamanders, you know, blue-spotted salamander, tiger salamanders. They like to come to the ponds to mate. You might also have your water striders, these spider-type insects, aquatic insects that can actually walk on top of the water. Whirligigs that, the little beetles that go around and around, you know,
right.
Probably all can relate to a whirligig now and then. you might also have the water boatman, which is a large beetle that enters the pond, and other water aquatic insects, too.
Well, where do they go when the pond dries up?
Well, a lot of them will go underneath the vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves are very protective of the aquatic insects, and that's why it is important to have this leaf litter layer in the pond. And then, you know, because you've got a lot of food base in this pond, that invites a lot of your predators to come. So they, it kind of acts like a biomass for the predators that like to visit the pond, like the shrews and the voles and the moles, and even larger, like the turtles might come and eat a water boatman, or even maybe a frog at that point too. So there's a lot happening in these little ponds.
In the woods close to where I live, we have two or three of them. We always try to get down there. There's also usually a good place to look for, like, some of the early spring flowers that are in more moist areas. But it sounds to me like this is one of these things that it's a good idea to keep your eye open for, because if you're stumbling around through the woods, you don't want to ruin one of these.
Right, and they are, like I said, hard to notice at times. You know, we at the Forest Service, we do identify them, and we will buffer them. Presently, we're putting like a 50 to 100-foot buffer around them when we do locate them.
Now, what does that buffer look like?
Well, it's a width of the vegetation surrounding the pond.
Oh, okay.
And so we protect it by leaving that alone, and that helps the ponds quite.
You don't put a sign up or anything.
No.
That might help some.
Yeah. It could.
Yeah. So this, what do you expect to see? We had a lot of snow, and it's pretty much gone now. I mean, have you been out? Do we have a lot of pools?
Well, in the Lake Superior North watershed, I know there's one pool because I saw it on Saturday.
Okay.
Hiking on the Linscoug Road on along Woods Creek. I was out there with some friends, and I, you know, just walking along, and all of a sudden I popped my head up, and there was a pool probably about, 20 feet by 50 feet. It was surrounded by aspen and birch trees, so...
Perfect.
So there is one in the watershed, but no, there are other ones too. So,
okay. Do you want to know where they are? I mean, should people tell you where they are?
Yeah, that would be great if they do locate them, especially on the national forest lands, because they are difficult to find. And you know, we do have limited resources to go locate these too. So yes. If they could give us a GPS point, that would be great.
That would be, yeah, right. We've been talking with biologist Amy Wilford about vernal pools, or all those other names for them. Not probably mud hole, right?
No, let's stick with a vernal pool.
Okay, thanks,
Sounds
Amy.
A little more classy.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Jay.